Well, as we continue our study of these pilgrim psalms, please turn with me now to Psalm 122. Here again, the word of our God. A psalm of ascents of David. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Well, over the past few days, from these songs of ascents, these pilgrim psalms, we've thought on a humble heart, and we've thought on a trusting heart. Well, here in this psalm, we find a glad heart, or a joyful heart, as David reflects on an occasion when his own heart was glad. The psalm begins, "I was glad." And as we prepare to come to the Lord's table tomorrow, it's of great importance that we seek to come with hearts that are humble, hearts that are trusting. But it's also important that we come and seek to come with hearts that are glad, hearts that are rejoicing in our Lord and what he has done for we who are his people. And we can see many of the reasons we have to be glad in him from these psalms we've considered over the last few evenings. But we can also be encouraged towards having this spirit of gladness from reflecting on this psalm before us this morning. This psalm where that spirit of gladness is so clear to see. And so to that end, it will serve us well to ask a few questions of the occasion on which David was gladly reflecting here. That occasion on which he was glad. And the first question is, where was it that he was going? Where was he going? Well, of course, he was going to the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. We've seen in these days how the songs of ascents are most reasonably understood as those songs that were sung as the people of God went up to the annual feasts in Jerusalem at the house of the Lord. We often read of them going up, and of course that was true in a literal sense as they ascended up to Jerusalem. but so too it was true in a spiritual sense. As they were going up to meet with the Lord in the house of the Lord. We noted just last night how for some time the place of meeting, the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant, been travelling from place to place with the people of God. But the Lord established his house on Zion. He established his house in Jerusalem. That was the appointed place of meeting where the Lord would meet with his people. And of course, this is a Psalm of David, but it would be David's son Solomon, under whose leadership the temple would be built, as a mark of the establishment and the permanence of this place, as that place of meeting, where the house of the Lord would stand, where his people would come to worship and to feast in him. And although the temple had not yet been built in David's day or when he wrote this psalm, he could still say that he would go to the house of the Lord, because it wasn't the temple stones that constituted the house of the Lord, but rather the very presence of the Lord. As he presents himself in the tabernacle and in the ark, and then in the temple. So when he says here, "I was glad when they said, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.'" Really he was saying, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go into the presence of God. Let us go and meet with our Lord.'" Psalm 84 we sang at the beginning sings of the tabernacle and the loveliness of the dwelling place of God. The loveliness of the house of the Lord. David knew it to be a privilege to go into the house of God. And he knew a great spirit of gladness in doing so, being mindful of that privilege. And here we're reading of Israel of old, Israel of the old covenant, standing in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord. We should note that Jerusalem in this psalm and elsewhere in scripture is not only speaking of the place, but of the people of God. And you see, as it speaks not only of the place, but of the people, so we can see that this psalm is not stuck in the old covenant, but it's also pointing forward to the new covenant, to the people of God, and to the new covenant such as we are. We saw last night that in Christ we are the people of God. We are the chosen people of God. We are those of Zion, those of Israel, those who are of Jerusalem. And we are told in Scripture that we are the temple of God, as the Spirit of God dwells in us. And with that in mind, we're also told that where two or three of us are gathered together, the Lord dwells in the midst. You know, it was prophesied that there would come a day when it would not just be people from Israel of old who would go and meet with the Lord in his house. In Isaiah 2:2, we read, "It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, 'Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. It's a wonderful truth that as the Spirit of God dwells in us, we are able to go to the throne of grace as individuals. It's a wonderful truth. And while we must not lose sight of the joy of that, we must bear in mind the joy of going up to the house of the Lord at the appointed times, going up to meet with Him. And this is under attack in our day. Meetings in the house of the Lord are falling by the wayside. They're being replaced by simply an individual walk with the Lord, with no thought of His house and what takes place in His house. The Spirit's like that in the days of Haggai the prophet, when the people were building up their own houses with no thought of the house of God and what it is that takes place in that house. In 1 Chronicles 29, verse 3, David said there, "I have set my affection on the house of the Lord. I have set my affection on the house of my God." And is that true of us? Are we coming to the house of the Lord with affection, with love, and with joy in the Lord? It's important for us to remember that this privilege has been secured for us in Christ. It says in verse 2, "Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." There's a sense in which we've seen that we can say that even now as we worship our God, we are standing within the gates of Jerusalem. But this is only possible, and this is only so because our Saviour went out of the gates of Jerusalem. That He went outside the camp. And He suffered on Calvary's cross. There's a sense in which we can say that our feet can stand in Jerusalem because Christ's feet and His hands were pierced. How important it is that we reflect on these things. Psalm 130 speaks there, as we've seen, of how no one would stand if the Lord was to mark iniquity. So in that sense, no one would be able to stand in the worship of God if it was not for the grace of God. The joy, brothers and sisters, the joy is not just that we are able to come through the work of our great high priest, but we're able to come as joint heirs with Him. It's an awesome truth. It's a wonderful truth. It should make us more humble, but also more joyful. You see, the God that we read of in the Old Testament is the same God we read of in the New Testament. And the God who was worshipped in the Old Covenant was a God who is to be feared. But we see in this psalm that although He was a God to be feared, He was also a God to be joyed in, whose worship was a joy and brought joy to David. And so is it the same God whom we worship and whom we trust in. So He is as fearful in the present day. So He is to be revered in the present day as we come to His house. But so too we have cause to rejoice in Him as we do so. Like David, we have cause to know gladness in our hearts as we go up to the house of God. A privilege which should cause joy to fill our hearts. With that, we can come to the second question. We've seen where David was going with gladness, but what was he going to do? What was he going to do? Well, we've alluded to this already, but we can say that he was going to the feasts, to the worship of God, specified for us in verses 3 and 4. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. He was going up, says, to the testimony of Israel. And some think this should be translated as a testimony to Israel. But I think it's right what we find before us, that David and those with him went up to the testimony of Israel. For the Ark of the Covenant is also described in Scripture as the Ark of the Testimony. It was within that ark that the testimony of the law was placed. And so there was a sense when, as the people of God went up to the house of God, and in that sense went up to meet with God, they also went to hear from God, to hear from his testimonies, his statutes, and his truth. I read that prophecy from Isaiah 2, where the people were saying from all nations, "Let us go up to the mountain of God, to the house of the God of Jacob." We'll hear what they say then. "He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." A people going up to hear the word of God. And not only that, they went up to give thanks to the name of the Lord in prayer and praise, giving thanks to the name of the Lord. Of course, worship's not just receiving, but it's giving unto the Lord. Mentions then made of thrones being set there for judgment. The thrones of the house of David. Not just judgment taking place at the gates of the city, but on the throne in that city. On the throne in that city. Acknowledging that there was a king in the land. Whenever we read of the throne and of the house of David, of course, it doesn't end with David, but in a sense it begins with David and looks forward to our Lord and Saviour, who established the throne of David forever. The great King on high, he who is to be worshipped. But you notice here, as David speaks of what it was that he was going up to do, he doesn't speak of the bells and the whistles, but he speaks of the means of grace. Going up to the word, to prayer and to praise. The prospect of these things had brought David great joy. And friends, as weary pilgrims on the way, what need we have of these means of grace? Of the word, of prayer, and of the sacraments. They're like an oasis for the soul as we walk on the narrow path that leads to life. Of course, it includes the Lord's Supper, which we look to tomorrow. In a sense, our New Testament feast. These are good gifts from God. They're solemn in many ways, but they are sweet opportunities for us to commune with our God. Pilgrim's food on this way that leads to life. As we partake of these means of grace, we do so through the work of our great high priest. And we pay homage to him as our king, as the king over all. And we also seek to hear from him as our prophet. Christ, our prophet, our priest, and our king. It's through him that we worship. It's through him that we proclaim his name. And as we think of these things, secured for us by Christ, does it not gladden our hearts? Does it not gladden our hearts in the way in which the Lord provides for us in the way, seeks to encourage us on the way, and seeks to remind us of that which is good on the way, all the while being glorified in himself as we partake of these means of grace? You see, I've mentioned how the house of the Lord is being neglected in this day. Well, so too with that, the means of grace are being neglected. And how sorrowful that is when we do reflect on the fact that these means have been secured for us through Christ in his gracious work. But you see, to truly partake of the means of grace is not just to be here, and even not just to be sat at the table. We've thought much about the heart in recent days. And so to truly partake of the means of grace is to partake of them in our hearts, in hearts set upon the Lord and his worship. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 2. Tells us that the Lord is zealous for Zion. Are we zealous for him? Are we zealous for him? We read of Christ and his zeal, how his zeal for the house of the Lord consumed him. And that included zeal for what took place in the house of the Lord. And so may we have such a spirit of zeal. Zeal for God's house, zeal for God's worship, zeal for the means of grace. And if we do so, if we have true and genuine Christ-like zeal, it will manifest itself in a spirit of joy as we partake of these means of grace. You know, this picture of David going up with the tribes to the testimony and to give thanks to the name of the Lord. What a meeting that must have been. And really, there is no greater meeting than when the people of God meet with the God of the people. We may be small in number. As we come to the table tomorrow, we may be small in number. We may just be gathered in a community centre. But what a precious meeting it is. As we gather round the table of our Lord, as we partake of his means of grace and commune with our Lord. Forget NATO, forget meetings of the United Nations. There's no meeting like it here on earth. And of course, all the while, it serves as a foretaste of that great meeting to come, the marriage supper of the Lamb, where we will worship our Lord more sincerely, more purely, and more gladly than ever before. Let these things, these prospects, encourage your hearts. as we seek to worship God and partake of his means of grace, not least the supper that he's prepared for us. And this brings us to the third question. We've seen that David was going to the house of God with gladness. We've seen that he was going up to the house of God to feast in the Lord and to worship the Lord with gladness. The third question is, who was he going with? Who was he going with? Well, again, we've noted this already. We've seen that David was not going on his own, but he was going with the people of God. You see, in verse 1, he begins, I was glad when they said to me. The singular I. But then it becomes plural. Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing. Not my feet, but our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. He mentions the tribes that go up in verse 4. He mentions those who love you in verse 5. Brethren and companions in verse 8. This was a corporate event, a gathering of the covenant people of God to the worship of the God of the people and of the covenant. Here we have that picture of pilgrims going up. And as we consider our own pilgrimage in the Lord, we will do well to remember, and to remember often, that we have fellow pilgrims on the way. We're told by Paul in Philippians that we are citizens of heaven. And every kingdom has many citizens. And it's true of the kingdom of God as well. And so as we go on the way, we can be comforted by the fact that we are not alone. Yes, first and foremost, because the Lord is with us by his Spirit. We can also be encouraged that his people go with us on the way. That we have brothers and sisters. That we know those who love the Lord as we love the Lord. That we have brothers and sisters and companions in the Lord. And this alone should bring us a sense of joy. When David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go up. First and foremost there, of course, he was glad at the prospect of going to the house of God. But surely he was also glad to hear these people inviting him to go up. I remember a time in Glasgow when I was walking to church, and most of you will be familiar with Gardiner Street, that steep hill outside the church. And my route was to come down the hill to the church at the bottom. And one Lord's Day, it so happened that as I was going down that hill, I could see some of the people from the congregation walking to the church from almost every street that was in my view. And what an encouragement it was to know that it was not I alone going to worship God, but there were others coming as well. And even when the numbers are few, we should be encouraged that God has a people, and God blesses us with brethren and companions in the Lord. We're united to Christ by faith. As a result of that, we are united with one another in Christ. So when we commune with the Lord, we commune with one another. The communion of the saints. We can enjoy that communion in many ways, but But surely there's no more precious way to enjoy that communion than in the context of the means of grace. So as we come to worship, well, we should be mindful, firstly, of who we come to worship. We should be mindful also of who we come to worship with. Particularly as we come to the Lord's table. Yes, we should be considering our individual walk with the Lord. We should be searching our own heart and seeking to rejoice all the more in the work of Christ. But at the same time, we should be mindful of the fellowship of that supper, of those who are sat at the table with us. And we should take joy in the fact that the Lord has not only saved us and redeemed us, but he has redeemed a people and is redeeming even to the ends of the earth. All nations shall flow to him. People from all nations shall flow to him. You see, the picture of this psalm was not many different individuals going up separately to God. It's a picture of one people going up with one heart to worship one God. We can see that they were not just doing so joyfully, but they were doing so with a spirit of unity. Verse 3, Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. As we've seen, Jerusalem not only speaks of the place, but of the people. You don't need me to tell you that there's much disunity in our own day. It should grieve us, because it grieves the Lord. There's much disunity in the Church of Christ, in our own day, in our own land. And there's no doubt that such disunity is going to affect our joy as we partake of the means of grace. So it's good for each one of us to search our hearts, not only with regards to our relationship with the Lord, but also in our relationship to his people. But you see, we must all the while remember that the only way we're going to grow in our relationship with the people of God is by growing in the relationship with our Lord, by growing in him. And so if unity is to grow and joy is to grow in the church in our land, we must be repentant before the Lord, praying that there will be a great returning to him and to his truth and to the prioritization of his means of grace. Because, friends, it's from partaking of the means of grace and doing so together that great blessings flow. In Acts 2, we read of the church there, how they were so clearly blessed by God. They were of one accord, of one heart. They were selling of their possessions and giving to those who were in need. They were going from house to house and encouraging one another in the way. But it's often forgotten that one of the first things we read of in that passage is that they were giving themselves often to the means of grace, to the apostles' teaching and to prayer, to other means as well, resting in the Lord, and flowing from that, they were greatly blessed. And it's such blessing that David calls us to pray for at the end of this psalm. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls. Prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We saw a similar prayer at the end of Psalm 125 last night. Peace be upon Israel. This is really a prayer for blessing. blessing upon Jerusalem, a prayer for peace for the city of peace, prayer for a people to know greater peace and blessing on the side of the Lord, having been granted peace by and through the Lord, as we have, knowing Christ to be the Prince of Peace. You know, the wonderful blessing is that as we come to worship God and partake of his means of grace, not only is he glorified in this, but he uses it to bless us and to encourage us and to strengthen our faith. And that is our prayer, is it not? That as we gather in God's house now, and as we look to do so tomorrow, is it not our prayer that he would be glorified, but also that we might be blessed, that we might be strengthened as pilgrims on the way, that we would be strengthened as individuals, but also that our brothers and our sisters, that our companions would be blessed as well. Oh friends, these things, as I've mentioned, they serve as a foretaste of that coming day, of that great marriage supper. And we can be encouraged by the fact that on that great day, there will be perfect unity and perfect joy. And so that itself should encourage us, by God's help, to seek to grow these things in these things, and to pray that we would see great growth in these things in our own day, in our own land. Well, just before we close, there's one final question to ask of David's reflection here. We've seen that he was glad because he was going to the house of the Lord. He was glad because he was going to that house to feast in God and to worship God. We've seen that he was glad because he was going there to do these things with the people of God. But fourthly and finally, we can ask, who really was it that called David to go up? Who was it that called him to go up to the house of the Lord? Well, we're told that it was the people, that they said, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." But ultimately, it was the Lord who was calling David to go up. Because the worship, the feasts, the tabernacle, and then the temple, all of these things were ordered by the Lord and called for by the Lord in his word. So just as the Lord called David to be the king of Israel, so he called David to partake of the worship of Israel. And so he calls us. And so he calls us. Those appointed times by the elders in Christ Church, the Lord calls us to go up and to worship him. From Sabbath to Sabbath and on special occasions like this. And within that, the Lord calls his people to go up to his table, to go forth to that great feast in Christ, to remember him and to proclaim him, to take and eat, to take and drink, to do it all in remembrance of him. He who knew no sin, became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Oh friends, we are so privileged in Christ. We are so privileged and blessed in Christ. It may not always feel like it. but we must know it in our hearts. And so may we hear the voice of the Lord and come to his worship tomorrow. And in Christ, come to his table tomorrow. And may we do so with humble hearts, but also with hearts that are glad, hearts that are overflowing with joy in light of what Christ has secured for us. And not only what he has secured for us in the present, but what he has secured for us in time and in eternity to come. May these things cause our hearts to be glad this day. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the many reasons we have to be glad in you. We confess that there are many things which threaten to discourage us, that cause our hearts to be heavy. But we do pray that in your grace you would lift up our hearts, that you would lift up our eyes to see the preciousness of your truth and of your promises and of the table which you prepare for us. We thank you for all that our Saviour has accomplished, not just for us as of individuals, but as a people. And as we consider these things and look to remember and proclaim these things, we do pray for great humility, but also for great joy. We rejoice in you this day, our God and our King, and we do so in the name of Christ our King. Amen. Well, we'll conclude by singing this great psalm we've considered, Psalm 122. I joyed when to the house of God. Go up, they said to me, Jerusalem, within thy gates our feet shall standing be. We will stand to sing the whole psalm to God's praise.
I joy when to the house of God go up, listen to me. Jerusalem, as I
Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.